Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 tonight. We've started a new series entitled Consider Christ. Tonight, we're going to learn about considering His presence. Mark chapter 4, our text will be verses 35 through verse 41. Mark 4 and verse 35. You find your place there in the scriptures. Please stand with me if you're able for the reading of God's word tonight. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part, or the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, remind us tonight that you care. More than we could ever understand, you care. And Father, I pray for those that are in the midst of a great storm in their life, that you'd give them comfort and peace in their hearts tonight. And Father, we know that storms are always going to be a reality in our lives. Lord, the trials and tribulations and temptation will abound in this life. And we pray that you'll remind us tonight that through it all you care and you're with us and you'll never leave us or forsake us. So I pray, Father, tonight you'd comfort hearts and help us to look to you today and every day. Lord, that we would consider your presence in our lives every moment of every day. Please bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. In the lives of every Christian, trials are going to come that can fill us with fear. And when they come, a lot of times we can forget about the one who's there with us all the way. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he was always busy doing the Father's will. How is it that ye sought me, he said. Wist or knew ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And every step that he took was a step of purpose. Every deed that he did was meant to glorify his Father in heaven. And tonight we're going to be reminded as the Lord's working through his Galilean ministry, we see the miracles and the preaching of Christ as he went all around the area of Galilee. And as he was on one side of Galilee and had been preaching and healing and doing the Father's business there, he said, let's pass over to the other side. And most of you are familiar with this. And as they would go over to the area, the country of the Gadarenes, and there he would heal the maniac of Gadara, as we call him. But as they're traveling across, a great storm arises. Now, many of the Lord's disciples were fishermen. This wasn't something they weren't used to. They were used to being on the Sea of Galilee, or it's also called Tiberias in the scriptures. They were used to the storms that arose. The way that that sea is positioned, it's common to have ferocious winds come up, storms come out of nowhere. And so a lot of times we are surprised by the storms that come. A lot of times we're surprised when we think we've kind of got it going and it's no big deal just to cross from one side to the other. We think we have it under control when the reality is we don't know when the storms are going to come, but they never catch the Lord by surprise. He knows. He knows. A lot of times we're tempted to feel confident in our own ability. And I think sometimes the Lord brings storms into our life to remind us that we always have to depend on Him. Storms are a reality in our lives. Look back at verses 35 through 37. When even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So listen, just because Jesus was in the ship did not guarantee smooth sailing. Too many people today think that if they're saved, everything's going to be fine, that everything's going to be smooth sailing, but that's just simply not the case. You ought to have Jesus in the ship with you. You ought to be in his boat, going his way. But even when that's the case, it doesn't mean that storms aren't going to come. You know, it's been said, you're either in the middle of a storm, you're just coming out of a storm or you're about to go into a storm, and that may seem a little discouraging to you, but listen, friends, you're not alone. And I remind you that Jesus was in the same storm. Whereas the disciples were filled with fear, Jesus had no fear because he is in control. And if we'll remember that he's in the ship with us, then we don't have to fear either. A lot of people, when bad things happen, automatically assume that God's punishing them for some reason. And that may be the case. God certainly chastises his own. And if you have unrepented and unconfessed sin in your life, bad things may be happening to bring you back to a place of repentance, to get you right with the Lord. Amen. And so when bad things start to happen, the first thing you ought to do is go to the Lord and ask the Lord, like the psalmist did, to open your heart and reveal and search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. We ought to first go to the Lord and make sure. But just because bad things are happening doesn't necessarily mean that there's sin in your life. It's just a reality of our lives in this sin-cursed world. Storms can be unpredictable. But nothing has ever taken God by surprise. And we know that God loves us and that he can work all things together for good. Romans 8, 28, 29, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And all of the things that God allows to come into your life ultimately are for the purpose of conforming you to the image of Christ. And if Jesus was hated by the world, and Jesus suffered in this world, and Jesus went through trials and tribulations in this world, we shouldn't be surprised when they come into our lives. Paul said that I might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wasn't deluded into thinking that suffering wasn't going to be a part of this Christian life. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Difficulties and trials are going to come. I don't want to make light of anything that any of you have been through. Most of you have been through far worse trials and tribulations than I have. But I think even the worst situation that any of us have been in pales in comparison to some of the saints who have come before us. I think about all that the Apostle Paul suffered. I think about men like the Reverend Wormbrand, who was in the Russian prisons and was tortured. And for 14 years, he suffered at the hands of those the Russians who came into Romania, and the horrible things that he talked about that were done to him and others. Friends, I'm telling you that we have no idea what real suffering is. And yet, through it all, God is faithful. A lot of times when things are good, when the weather's nice, we get complacent. We stop looking to the Lord. But so many times when the trials are coming, we are closer to God. And everybody here, if you've been through any kind of trial, you know that you've prayed more, you've studied more, you've sought the Lord's face more when things are bad than you do when things are easy. And so we need to learn to look to him and trust in him all the time, not just when things are bad. The storms of this life can be unexpected and they can be unmerciful. Notice in verse 37 it says, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Luke's account, he says they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Listen, this wasn't just a little storm. This wasn't just a little wind and a little thunder and a little lightning. This was a great storm of wind and the ship was full of water. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big deal. Most of us have never been on a very big body of water. Some of you have been down to the coast and the Gulf, and you've been down there and out on a vessel there. Some of you have been out far enough where you can't see land anymore. I've never been out far enough in the water to not see the other side. Lake Eufaula is about the biggest body of water I've ever been on. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm on Lake Eufaula and my boat's full of water, I'm going to be concerned. It's a big deal. And sometimes we get in situations that completely overwhelm us and we just don't know what to do. Sometimes you're in a situation and you feel completely overwhelmed. You feel like you're drowning. And people respond to the trials of life in different ways. Unfortunately, too many people in our society today turn to everything but God in the middle of their trial, in the middle of their storm. People turn to drugs and alcohol. People turn to immoral lifestyles. People turn to anything they can to escape the moment of trouble they're in. Too many people run away. Too many people think, and I've talked to so many people in our town that think that this town is the worst town in the world, and if they could just get out of Muldrow, everything would be better. It's funny, because I grew up in Braggs, and there were a lot of people in Braggs that thought if they could just get out of Braggs, life would be better. And I lived in Muskogee, and a lot of people in Muskogee thought if I could just get out of Muskogee, life would be better. And I lived in Vian, and the people in Vian thought if I could just get out of Vian, things would be better. And they might have been right. No, the reality is the trouble that's here is everywhere because we lived in a sin-cursed world. You can't run away from your problems. What you can do is in the middle of your problems, run to Christ. Don't seek to change your circumstances. Go to the Lord and allow Him to change your heart. My brethren, James writes, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. Listen, God wants to bring you to maturity, and He's going to do that through trials and temptations and tribulations. That's where we grow. It's where we grow. When trials come to your life, allow God to work through those trials the way He intends. Don't quit. I've been amazed in my life to see so many people when bad things happen in their life, the first thing they do is quit church. I can assure you, friends, that's not going to help you. When trouble comes, don't turn away from God, run to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, so many of you know this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When trouble comes, don't turn from the Lord, turn to the Lord. Don't trust in your own solutions. Well, I'll just get a different job. I'll get a divorce. I'll move to a different town. I'll do whatever. Listen, you're running away instead of running to the Lord, and He'll bring you through. Can I remind you that everything gets to you as Father filtered? If you're a child of God, nothing can get to you unless God allows it. So many times when people are going through a lot, the first thing they say is, well, I know God won't put anything on me, more on me than I can handle. Listen, God will always put more on you than you can handle on your own. Everybody hear that? This idea that God won't put anything more on you than you can handle is not true. He won't tempt you above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But we can't handle anything on our own. God wants to put us in a position where we have to rely on Him. And if we were smart and had any wisdom at all, we would understand we always need Him. Even when things seem to be going good, we need the Lord. Job 23:10 said, but He knoweth me the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And what God's doing in your life is to make you better. And like it's been said so many times, when a trial comes, you can either get bitter or you can get better. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And your faith is precious, more precious than gold. And like gold is tried by fire, your faith will be tried, tested, proven by fiery trials and temptations. And we've got to come through that. A lot of times, it's a lot to do with perspective. I imagine those men sailing across Galilee, there probably could have been a lot of storms that weren't quite as bad, a lot of storms that didn't fill the boat with water, and they never would have woken the Lord up. Believe that? That there were some storms that could have came that they would have felt like they could handle. It's bad, but it's not that bad, and we can handle this. It was only when it was overwhelming, when the ship was full of water, that they decided, this is too big for us. And they had to wake the Lord up and say, don't you care that we're about to die? Well, what a crazy thing to ask Jesus. And so the problem is perspective. A lot of times we think our problems are small enough that we can handle, and we're wrong. And a lot of times we think our problems are so big that God can't handle them, and we're wrong. We've got to get the right perspective that God's bigger than every problem that comes. He's bigger than every storm that comes. He's in control of everything that comes. And when we have the right perspective, but sometimes it's hard for us because we see the problem as being too big. But the bigger we see and realize and remember and understand, the bigger we understand God is, the smaller your problems will be in perspective. It's all a matter of perspective, right? There was a couple that went in their teenage daughter's room and they found a note that said Mom and Dad on the top, so they opened it up. And this is what it said. Mom, dear Mom and Dad, I'm writing this letter on school paper because my stationery got burned in the fire. I am now out of the hospital, and I have now moved in with my new boyfriend, Bill. He got me a job where he works. I'm a waitress at the Red Dog Saloon. Your new grandbaby is due next fall. Mom, Dad, none of the above really happened. However, I made a C in French, and I'm failing history. Love your daughter. Perspective. Changes things, doesn't it? When trials come, the devil's going to try to get you to lose your perspective. When trials come, the devil's going to lie to you and tell you God isn't with you. He's going to tell you God doesn't care. He's going to tell you that everybody else is against you too. But the devil's a liar. Beloved, Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't think it's a strange thing when fiery trials come, but rejoice. Now, let's just be honest tonight. When bad things happen, how many of us, our first response is, praise the Lord. I mean, does anybody really do that? There's a reason why the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter have to constantly remind us that trials and tribulations are a good thing, and when we suffer, especially for the cause of Christ, it's reason to rejoice. But the reality is, most of us aren't suffering for the cause of Christ, and most of us, when trials do come, we don't react with rejoicing. We react with murmuring and complaining and grumbling and griping and blaming. But the truth is, one of the great privileges we have when we are suffering is the opportunity to be faithful, to give glory to God, and to rejoice in everything. Most of you have studied your Bibles enough. You've studied the Old Testament. You've studied the Israelites through the Exodus. And I don't know about you, but every time I study the Israelites in the Exodus, I am so irritated with them. Because they are the biggest wine bags in the world. I mean, God performs all these incredible miracles. He brings them out, saves them from certain death. And what do they do but complain and say, we were better off back there in Egypt. And so God provides for them and God blesses them in spite of their murmuring and complaining. And they shut up for a little while, but then pretty soon they're back to the murmuring and complaining. And when I study them, I'm like, man, you guys would drive me nuts. And what do? I don't know if any of you, most of you have kids and can remember, if they've been out of the house for a while, you ever get irritated with your kids because they're never satisfied? I mean, you give them food, but it's not the food they want. Right? And I don't know about you. I'm so thankful that God's more patient than I am. My attitude is, if you don't like what's on the table in front of you, you can just do without. Now, most of you aren't as mean as I am, because when I go there, I stay there. It doesn't bother me. Some of you go to bed feeling guilty because your kids didn't eat. Listen, it's their stinking fault. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, well, I'm just telling you that so many times we're just like our kids. We're just like the Israelites in the desert. God blesses us so much and we still grumble and complain. And rather than rejoicing in the Lord when the troubles come, when the storm comes, we murmur and complain. But here they are. Their lives are literally in jeopardy. They literally could drown at any minute. And Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the back of the ship. Some of you can sleep like that. Your house got blown away by a tornado, you wouldn't even know it. Now, some of you are not like that. Some of you, the slightest little noise and you're out of bed. What was that? But Jesus is sleeping soundly in the back of the ship. Verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what an amazing thing to wake Jesus up and ask if he cares if you're about to die. You know, of all the miracles that they've seen of Jesus, of all the preaching that they've heard him preach, of all the messages of the gospel that Jesus has given, I think they don't get it yet. Obviously, Jesus cares. And it's a crazy thing to wonder whether Jesus cares, but so many times we feel the same way. We wonder, if I'm going through this, does Jesus care? And I have an answer for you tonight. Yes, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is not a God that's far away, but he is a very present help in trouble. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Friends, you may be in the middle of a storm. You're going to go through a storm if you're not in one now. And I promise you, Jesus cares. And I promise you, if you're born again, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you. And he is your helper. And so they wake him up. Do you care? Of course he cares. They seek his attention and they seek his help. It's a beautiful thing when God's children humble themselves and ask the Lord to help the way that only he can. How much faith did the disciples have when they asked Jesus if he cares? Not much, did they? They didn't have a great deal of faith when they said, Jesus, don't you care? We're all about to die. They didn't have very much faith, but they had enough faith to go to him. And it only takes a little bit of faith to change everything. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we may not have much faith, but if our faith is in the right place, God can accomplish great things. He is faithful. Helen Keller said, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. Though the world is full of suffering, it's also full of the overcoming of it. And we need to turn to the Lord. When our faith is not strong, when we're afraid, we should turn to him. So what did Jesus do? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The great storm became a great calm when Jesus spoke. Now, these men were terrified in fear for their lives. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in a position where you were actually afraid for your life. How many of you have ever been in that situation? You thought, I really might die right now. Really? Not more of you? I've seen some of you drive. And so all the people who have ridden with you ought to be raising their hands right now. I'm shocked right now because there have been multiple times in my life when I've done really, really stupid things and thought, I could die. Thank you, Brother Tom. God bless you. I don't know how many times you've been in that situation, and maybe you think about it a little bit, but when you're in that situation, you think, I'm in a really bad place right now, and this could go really, really badly. It gets your attention. And that's where they were. They cry out to the Lord, and he stands up, and he rebukes the wind. He says, peace, be still. What an incredible thing when the Lord speaks to the wind. He rebukes it, and he says, peace, be still. Now, the great storm turned into a great calm, and I don't know when the last time you drove by a lake or a pond that was perfectly still, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It'll be like a mirror, just clear, smooth as glass, and you can see the reflection of everything that's above it. It doesn't happen very often, but I believe this. I believe when it became a great calm, that's what it was like. It went from being an overwhelming storm to just smooth as glass. And the men who were a few moments before scared of the storm are now actually scared of the Savior. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How is it that ye have no faith? You know, the Lord talked about the disciples' faith a lot. He asked them why they had little faith. And here he asked them why they have no faith. They, verse 41, feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I have the answer. He's not just a man. He's the God-man. Psalm 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Hey, the psalmist said, I'm not going to be afraid. God is my refuge. He's my strength. I don't care if there's earthquakes. I don't care if there's hurricanes and tornadoes. I don't care if there's volcanoes. I don't care if the whole world itself was falling down around me. I will trust in God. That's impressive to me. And listen, that was his heart. That was moved by the Spirit of God that he had that great faith. Though the mountains shake and the waters be troubled, I'm going to trust in God. He's my refuge. And I'm amazed by that kind of faith. And I want to have that kind of faith because I'm telling you that it doesn't take much for me to be afraid. Listen, an unexpected bill comes along and I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do? It takes very little for me to be Chicken Little and say, the sky is falling. What are we going to do? It's the end of the world. I mean, the car breaks down. An unexpected bill comes in. One of the kids gets sick. I mean, it takes such small things for my world to be shaken sometimes. Why? Why are we like that? Well, we're afraid because we lack faith. When you have faith in the Lord, your fear will be very small. When your faith is weak, your fears will be very big. I want you to know we have a God we can trust in. Look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, if you would please. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I want to look at this passage of Scripture together as we finish up tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are so often afraid, so often worry, so often filled with anxiety. I feel like the past 5 to 10 years, anxiety has become a huge buzzword, as though it's some new thing. I've got news for you. Anxiety's been around as long as sin. It's not new. It's not a new thing for Americans over the past couple of decades. Anxiety and worry and fear have all been here from the beginning of sin. And I want to tell you tonight, dear friends, that you can worry all you want to about tomorrow, but tomorrow's got enough evil for it. I told you before about the lady who was always worried. Her husband says, all that worrying you do does no good. She said, yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen. And some of you think that way. You think that by worrying about something, somehow you have the mental power to cause it not to happen by worrying about it. I promise you that's not the case. I promise you that whatever trouble comes tomorrow, God has ordained it. And no amount of worrying you do is going to change it. But I promise you this, if it gets to you, it had to go through God first. And he will bring you through it. But you've got to look to him. Oh, ye of little faith. I think this is a really hard lesson for us to learn because we're so blessed in America. We have so much. Very few people in this room have ever had to think about where they were going to get clothes or where they were going to get their next meal. Most of us have been blessed so abundantly, and very few in this room have ever had to worry about. Some of you have, but most of you haven't. You haven't had to worry about what am I going to have to eat tomorrow? What am I going to have to drink? I hope I have some clothes to wear tomorrow. Most of us don't have that. And so because we are trusting in ourselves and trusting in what we already have, we don't learn to trust God at all. But rather than looking at what we think we have, we should look to the Lord. Fear is not always a bad thing. There was one type of fear they had that was right. And it's on our text in verse 41. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You shouldn't fear man, but you should fear God. We trust in him and we see his power. We ought to fear him even more, but it's not a fear that drives us away from him. It's a fear that drives us to him. To trust in him, to understand how powerful he is. If Jesus can speak to the storm and calm it, he can speak to your storm as well. Don't always expect God to calm the storm, though. But you can always trust him to calm your heart. Tonight, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I'd ask you to stand with me, please. I'd encourage you, some of you have taken some notes tonight, I'd encourage you to remember Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is with you. The Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. And whatever you're going through in your life, look to him because he cares. If he's convicting your heart tonight, you need to make a decision. You come right now while we sing.